is not actually producer, money change, or more change, it goes to that. Diamonds, it gets mothers with children, it has to get what they need, and it's pretty. You know, yeah, so if you won't get any of that, we're late, it's hard, we've been here. Last week, that's a Thursday, right?
The only thing we're not late at is getting to the table. I'm not on. One moment, it's turned on. That's all right, I'm loud enough for everybody.
Amen.
You know, it, I looked at that thing on, Mason, probably this.
Thank you, Mason.
You know, I've got several of these from Mason. And I love these. I love these little drawings that children, love the preacher. And, they give me drawings and come up and hug me. And a lot of these little ones, you know, all they can get is my leg. I like those little leg hugs. Amen.
People are so important to the church. I've said many times, the church didn't die, it's died.
Amen. So don't worry about these babies crying. It'll be all right. We're going to worship God. And I'm so glad to see you this morning. We're going to have we had such a great vacation Bible school. It was so awesome. So many, 16 got saved.
Amen.
16. About half of those were teenagers. Amen. And then we had some younger ones. You say, Brother Roger, what do I need to know? And what do I need to believe to be saved? Well, it's simple. It's simple. Jesus came into the world to die for our sins. He was buried and he rose again the third day. If you believe that in your heart, I'm not just talking about in your mind, I'm talking about in your heart. If you believe it with your soul, and you want to live for Jesus, it's so simple to be saved. Jesus said that he's the way. He's the only way. He's the truth and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by him. If we're going to heaven, and I know we all want to go to heaven when we die, the only way to get to heaven is through Jesus.
That's right.
That's what the Bible says. That's what the Bible says. Well, I worked on a sermon about I don't know, on and off this week, and I got it finished yesterday, and I got to church. I was sitting there, and I'm not going to be able to preach that sermon. I worked on it so hard. It's a good sermon. It's a good sermon. But God spoke to my heart, and he said, Roger, I want you to tell the people something, and Roger, I want you to speak from your heart. And that's what I want to do today. You know, this week, the Supreme Court made a ruling. And that ruling will keep babies alive. Now, I know it goes down to the state, and it's going to be up to the state. And I know, folks, that's such a sensitive thing, abortions. It's so sensitive. I have so much hate going on in America because of that. And it breaks my heart. I think about the 73, 74 million babies that have been aborted since 1973, Roe versus Wade, and 73 million. And I think, what could they contributed to this world? And their life was taken from them. You know, and it breaks my heart to think about that. The millions of babies. Now listen to me. Babies that are aborted go to heaven. They go to heaven. They shouldn't have died that way.
Right.
But they did. And I believe they're around the throne of God.
Amen.
With Jesus.
Yeah.
And I know it's sensitive because I dealt with this over 40 years with young girls and young guys as well that was in the situation with their girlfriend and I've dealt with that and it's a horrible thing and I know that people are hurting. I know it's so sensitive that people, young ladies that have had abortions, I know they grieve. And I know they hurt and they try to cover up that pain a lot of times with drugs and alcohol, but that pain is still there. And I want to just tell them about Jesus. I want them to get rid of that pain. I want them to know that they can be forgiven and they can go to heaven. And one of these days, if they accept Christ as their Lord and Savior, they'll be able to hold that baby. I believe that. I believe that. If there's a lady here today and you've had a miscarriage, let me tell you something. That baby is in heaven.
Amen.
Amen. With Jesus. And that is a great comfort. If you have your Bible, turn with me to Exodus chapter 20. In Exodus chapter 20, you'll see the Ten Commandments. Exodus chapter 20, you'll see the Ten Commandments. And the Ten Commandments are there to show us what sin is and shows us what evil is. And so it shows us what to do and how to live, and it shows us, what not to do. And the Ten Commandments are so important to us. But the one I want to focus on is found in verse 13. And it's so simple. This would clear up everything if people would just believe the Bible. The Bible says, thou shalt not kill. Now, that's simple. That's simple. That needs a little bit of explanation because that's premeditated murder. Thou shalt not kill. That is premeditated murder, pre-planned murder. An abortion is pre-planned.
Right.
The Bible says thou shalt not kill. Now, a lot of people, I've talked to military men, they said, Brother Roger, I had to go to war. I had to take another man's life. I was fighting for my country. How does God feel about that? Well, I want to tell you something. Fellas, you were protecting your family. You were protecting your country. Sometime evil has to be killed. It really does. That's why we have the laws. Sometimes people are so evil, the only way you can deal with them is to take their life. That's in the Bible. The Bible says, if you shed man's blood, by man your blood will be shed. You've got to have a line. You've got to have regulations. You've got to have laws. And the thing about it is, you know, police officers, sometimes they have to take a person's life. They're protecting us. They're protecting the innocent, and when the Bible says thou shalt not kill, that's talking about premeditated murder. One of the strongest scriptures in the Bible that tells us how God feels about abortion is this: God hates the hands that shed innocent blood. Now I want you to think about that. That is a strong word. God despises, appalled. He's appalled by someone that would take an innocent baby's life. So I'm glad the ruling this week went the way that most of us have been praying for years. Because I want babies to live. I want them to live. I hold my grandchildren and I look at them. I think, how in the world could somebody kill something so precious? and it breaks my heart. I hope every one of us will get on the side of what God says. Not on what an individual wants, or not somebody says, well, I've got the right, my body, my choice. Matter of fact, if you're saved, it's not your body.
Right.
It's God's body.
Amen.
He bought it with a price. You belong to Him. My body, my choice, human rights gives us that choice. Human rights starts in the womb. In that baby, doesn't that baby have human rights? They can't even speak for themselves. Now I know, when you preach the Word of God and you preach it the way I preach, we're going to eat. I'm going to get some heat, but I want you to know right up front, I'm willing to take that heat. I'm willing to take it, all the slander, all the lies, all the things that come against us. Bible-believing preacher, I'm okay, so I'm willing to take that for those babies.
Somebody said, Brother Roger, how about when it comes to incest? How about when it comes to a medical reason? How about when it comes to rape? Listen to me, less than 1% of all abortions are because of those three reasons. Less than 1%. How about all those other babies? Why did they have to die?
Because a lot of times teenage pregnancy takes place, sex before marriage. Mamas, you got a big job to teach those children. Daddies, you got a big job to teach your children. And I know it happens. It happens to the best of families. It happens in Christian families. And we deal with that through Christ. We deal with that through the cross. You know, the thing about this, but why did that baby have to die? I heard the other day somebody was talking about, you know, my body, my choice, and they said my body, my choice, without apology, abortion without apology, and that just tore my heart out. They'd kill a baby and without apologizing. Well, that baby needs to be apologized to, I think. I've dealt with it. I've dealt with teenage mothers that have aborted twins. I've dealt with teenage mothers that have had three abortions. I know the pain. I know the agony that people go through in their life. And some of the best families deal with that pain. How do we deal? Where do we take that guilt to? Where do we take it? How can I get some relief? How can I get something to help the pain, the emotional pain that I'm going through in my life? Listen to me. Through the cross. The Bible says Jesus came to seek and save the lost. If you're here today and you've had an abortion, there's forgiveness at the foot of the cross. There's forgiveness. I preached a message something like this a few years ago when I was in Rochester Baptist Church, and I felt this message upon my heart, the evil of abortion. I thought, God, I don't even know, I don't know that much about it. What am I supposed to say? And the Lord spoke to my heart and said, you preach from your heart what I tell you to. Well, I preached. We gave an invitation, and I thought, nobody's going to respond. God, why did you want me to preach this message? And all of a sudden, a man about 80 years old got up from the back. He came forward. He looked at me with big tears in his eyes, and he said, Brother Roger, I know about this thing about abortion. I paid for an abortion. I paid for it. One of the young ladies in our family got pregnant, and they were trying to hide it. They didn't want anybody to know it, and they wanted to keep it secret, and they didn't have the money. And this girl came to me and said, "Would you please help me? I don't want anybody to know I'm pregnant." And he said, "Yes, I'll pay for it." And that guilt had followed him basically all of his life. You see, I know something about guilt. I know something about pain. I know something about shame. I know that there's help at the foot of the cross. We can come to Jesus. Maybe you're here today. You need to come to Jesus. Aren't you glad we got a lot of children? Oh, I'm so proud of the parents, and you know, for they didn't abort their babies. They kept them alive. Why? Because they knew what love is. They knew what responsibility is. I heard about a woman this week that she was screaming, "My body, my choice." And she kept screaming that. And a young man came up to her. And the sad thing about this mother that was screaming, "My body, my choice," had about a four-year-old little boy. And whoever it was, the man said, "Well, you want to abort a baby, why don't you take that one? Won't you give that one up?" Oh, she said, "Oh, I can't give that. He's 4 years old. There's no difference.
Right.
Murder is murder."
Right.
But the thing that I want you to get today is there's forgiveness. Sometimes, folks, you got to draw a line. You got to stand for what's right. You've just got to. You can straddle the fence. Many people do in America. They don't want to offend anybody. They don't want to say anything. But if you don't stand for what's right, you will accomplish nothing your whole life. You'll die. And you lived a wasted life. Stand for something. Stand for Jesus. Stand for the Word of God. That's the only thing that's going to help us. Somebody said, "Brother Roger, I think the world is just falling. It's gone so crazy that it's falling apart." I want to tell you something. I've studied this book. This world is not falling apart. This world is falling into place for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's shouting. He's not whispering to us. He's shouting from heaven. He's coming. He's coming. I don't know what you need today in your life. I don't know what you're dealing with, but I want to tell you something. I care. And I think the Lord Jesus can help us. You see, the great thing about it is there's freedom. There's freedom when it comes to knowing Jesus. You can let that pain go. Whatever you're dealing with, I heard a preacher say this week, you know, it's not God's fault that we're crazy and we mess up our lives, is it? It's not God's fault. But I want to tell you something about the grace of God. If you give Him your craziness, amen. If you give Him your craziness, and come to Him and bring a mop and a bucket, He will help you clean it up.
Right.
Amen. He'll help you clean it up, but He won't stop there. Praise God. Then you can go tell your friends. And you go around to your friends and you're so different. You're so filled with the Holy Spirit. You're so filled with the love of God. You're so filled with wanting to do what Jesus wants you to do. And you go see your friends and they look at you and they say, "You're different. You used to be crazy. You used to be messed up. What's happened to you?" And that's when we tell them about Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. The Bible says, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved."
Amen.
The Bible says, "If I neglect so great a salvation, there's no other escape." The Bible says, "For God so loved us, for God so loved the world, that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." I don't know about you, but I believe this book.
Amen.
I believe it. And I hope you believe it as well. Would you please stand? We're going to have a hymn of invitation. We're going to baptize these kids. And it's so wonderful. That's the life of the church. Jesus said, "Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." He was telling Nicodemus that. Nicodemus, he was a ruler. He was a prince. He was very educated, very intelligent. Jesus, the Bible says that Nicodemus came to Jesus by night. And Jesus said, "Nicodemus, you must be born again." Nicodemus said, "Lord, I'm 54 years old. How can I go back in my mother's womb the second time?" Jesus said, "Nicodemus, the wind blows." Amen. You don't know exactly where it comes from, but you can feel the effect of it. The thing about it is, listen, you may not understand that terminology, but Jesus said you must be born again. From above, the Spirit of God does a work in you. When you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you begin to change. You begin to change. Next Sunday, I'm going to preach a message, why Debbie and I don't drink. Why Debbie and I don't go to the Eagles. Why Debbie and I don't go to the Legion. We've been saved. If I go into those places, the Spirit of God, I would quench the Spirit of God. You see, when you get saved, you change from within. It's within. Everybody here's got something. It may go back to your teenage years. It may go back even younger. Everybody here has got something that you don't want known. You don't want it known. When Jesus spoke to Lazarus, "Lazarus, come forth." The Bible says he had been dead 4 days. His sister said, "Lord, he stinks. He's been dead 4 days." And he said, "Lazarus, come forth." The Bible says that Lazarus come out of that tomb. He was dead. He'd been dead 4 days. And then the Bible says, "Loose him and let him go." You see, that's what Jesus will do for you. The Bible says that we're dead in trespasses and sin. The Bible says that every one of us stink in the nostrils of Almighty God because of our filthiness, because of our sin. The Bible says for you and I to come forth. The Bible says that the blood of Jesus Christ will wash our sin away. You can have peace in your soul, but you got to bring it to Jesus. I believe that when he raised Lazarus from the grave, I believe Jesus was telling you and I can take care of the hurt and I can take care of the dirt. I can take care of your sin. I can take care of your hurt. I can take care of your pain. But he says, come unto me, all that labor and that are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Do you need peace? Do you need assurance? You say, Brother Roger, I'm doing all right. I'm a pretty good person. No, you're not. Brother Roger, I've got a good heart. No, you don't. The Bible says your heart stinks. The Bible says that your heart is deceptive. Who can know it? No man can know it, only God. When you get saved, he takes that heart, that stony heart, out of your flesh and puts in a heart of flesh. And you begin to live. You begin to live for Jesus. You're not living if you don't know Jesus. I'm telling you, the Bible says that you're dead in trespasses and sins. But you don't have to stay dead. You can accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. I remember one time a little girl, I think Debbie was telling me this, listen to me. And we're going to have a hymn of invitation, if I can be quiet. I'm not sure if I can, but listen to me. A little boy got saved, and I think it was at First Baptist Church. And that little boy came forward, gave his heart and life to Jesus. He was so excited. But his old grandpa, sitting in the back, wasn't saved. He saw his son come up and get his grandson come up and get saved, and here comes old grandpa. Here he comes. Couldn't hardly walk. But here he comes. He tells the preacher, if my grandson's getting saved and going to heaven, I want to go with him. I want to go with him. Some of you family members, you're here today. You came to see your loved one baptized, but I'm going to tell you a bigger picture than that. God brought you here. God led you here to hear this old bald-headed preacher today. That's why you're here. You're here because in a divine providence, God, in God's will to mankind, he drew you by the Holy Spirit into the place of worship, where you can hear the word of God and make a choice. You'll make a choice today. You say, Brother Roger, I'm not going to choose anything. You've made the choice. You make a choice to get saved, or you make a choice to go out that door and not be saved. But I want to tell you something. The Spirit of God does not always strive with man. There's no guarantee that the Lord would deal with you again. I know a man in Muhlenberg County. If you get tired, just sit down. Be all right. I know a man in Muhlenberg County in a Baptist church just like this one. He was under conviction. And he didn't go. He didn't come to the altar and get saved. Somebody asked him one day, he said, why do you even come to church? You don't participate? You're not happy? Why don't you even come to church? Why do you come? He said this. He said, 25 years ago, God Almighty dealt with my heart and my soul. 25 years ago, and I didn't respond. I wanted to do my thing. I want to do it when I wanted to do it. He said, I come to church because I'm praying that if God deals with me again, I'm going to get saved. There's no guarantee that the Holy Spirit will keep dealing with you. I'm telling you, you better respond to Jesus when he's calling you. Let's sing.